lovely to be here. I want to say a big thank you to Martin and Roy and a team that come up all the way to Swindon regularly and help us in our small meeting. It's always lovely to see you. A big thank you. And so it's a pleasure to come, and it also gives me this joy of having a ride over. And I go up the top way by the little gliding airport, and then along the top there, because I get the views of Stroud, and I look down and I think, I don't see that sights like that in Swindon. It's all flat. It's got some lakes and everything, but where I live, Swindon's up. It isn't hilly, so it's just wonderful. I used to live here, so it's nice just to come home. I only lived here for a year and a bit, but we came when this Stroud Christian Fellowship just started.
And you've lost your...
Oh, yeah, here. You want to improve the sound. Here we go. So I hope, as I'm speaking, the sound will improve. Okay, and the other thing is to say that since I was here last, I was eating an apple, biting away. My tooth came out. So if you're looking at me thinking, he looks a bit rough. I've got a visit to the dentist next week to start the process of getting that sorted. So there we are. I think little things like that matter. Okay, I'd like to talk to you about this... Our Ebenezer. And there's a beautiful little passage in 1 Samuel that talks about this stone that Samuel set up to say something of thanks to the Lord for the journey that he had been on. So you get this in 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12. Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and he named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. Now, this was the little passage. I'll read it to you in a minute, the whole little passage. But this was the passage that I felt God stir for Stroud this morning. And I believe in a couple of months' time, you'll be moving out of here and will be into a new situation, a school, a new school setting, and lots of things change. And in journeys, it's important to walk with God, to trust him on the way. There were some words along these lines. Trust him for every detail of your life. Tracy was speaking out this morning. Somebody else was saying, the Lord will never leave you or forsake you. Martin was encouraging us to wait and listen because the Lord wants to whisper to us. So I believe he's setting us up, and he's wants to encourage us that, you know, change for some people isn't straightforward. You know, I used to love change. I would change. Well, what's the next change? It's great. But now I'm a bit senior, I think change, I'm a little bit nervous about the change, you know. And I stay awake at night, and I'm just concerned about it. So it's good just to take the journey and go on the journey with the Lord. Now, this was one of those examples of the journey. And it says he set up a stone. Now, when you look at that, Roger, that's not a stone, that's a pile of stones. Come on. Okay, all right. Here is the one stone, maybe, something like this, that Samuel set up there in this incident where the children of Israel encountered God. But could you allow me the liberty? I do like those stones one on top of the other, so it just looks a bit better. So this Ebenezer thing, what's it really mean? So You might say, well, Ebenezer to me is a name of an old man, Ebenezer Scrooge, you know, Charles Dickens, and that story around Christmas, or Ebenezer's a boy's name. Some of you will remember a hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And then it goes on, I will raise my Ebenezer. Here I raise my Ebenezer, here by grace, thy great help, through thy great help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. It's a lovely, lovely hymn, lovely song. But in this case, it was a stone of remembrance set up between Mizpah and Shem. It was a stone of God, it spoke of God's help. The meaning, Ebenezer, is the stone of help. And this was where God intervened and delivered Israel from the Philistines. So this was what it really means. So Ebenezer, this is the rock of help, a monument of God sitting there and looking at God's faithfulness. It's a stone of remembrance. It's an altar of memorial of a time where God has intervened. You know, and many of us have had times in our lives, and it's good to put, as it were, mark this place. And this morning, I want to just encourage us, could you mark this journey that you're on and say, okay, we are on a journey. Let's not just brush it aside. Let's mark it. Let's say, Lord, we want to thank you for the past. We want to thank you for what you have done. And we want to go on with you into the new thing that you have for us. Let me try and be practical. For you to grow, you've got to move out of this place. And God's going to grow you as you move out of this place. This is what I felt stirred up to say. I remember this little passage I spoke about when I was asked Amersham, High Wycombe, Amersham area, there was an evening service and I was invited to this Methodist church where they're having an anniversary of all their churches together. And it was clear there was a declining population and it was quite a lot of elderly people, because I sort of picked that up. And could you come, Roger, and do this Thanksgiving service for us? And I thought, do you know what? I meant to do this one. So and the passage that I'd got in my mind was the Ebenezer passage, you know, marking the place and giving thanks to God for what had happened. And I took a stone. I went and got a whole big sort of bag of stones, and I took all these stones in. And as people came through the door, they got a stone. And some were sort of giggling and laughing. We're going to throw this at the preacher at the end of the hour. And they were sort of joking about, and they were intrigued, you know, slightly different. And it was to mark the place, and they were meant to, and I had some pens, you know, sort of those, what do they call them, the sparky pens that you mark. And anyway, and I was excited, you know, and I thought, I'm going to try and introduce something of the Holy Spirit, and I give some words of knowledge at the end. And I gave my words of knowledge and said, no, not at the end. Could you just bring your stone and put it up and mark it as a place of God's helped us and he's been with us, and I give thanks to him for all he's done in our lives. And they all came up and very obedient and did it. And I gave my words of knowledge and waited, said, after that, if one of these is for you, please pray. Guess how many people came forward for prayer? Nobody. So I felt a little bit of a failure. And just as we were packing up, the guy that was there, who'd got me there in the first place, he was called Gerald. He said, Roger, he said, you know that prayer stuff that you go on about at the end? He says, I've had a bit of a difficulty. I've been for a little bit of treatment in my eyes, and I'm losing my sight. And after I went for the treatment, I can't see a thing now. it just tipped it over and I can't see a thing. I got my white stick here. As you can see, I can't see a thing. I had to be led around. He says, could you do some of that praying stuff over me? Have a go for me, would you? And so, and I realized that everybody had left. So I thought, I'm going to have a go. And so I sort of, okay, come on, Joe. And put his hand over his eyes. And I thought, I can really go for it. So now listen, testimonies aren't about us. They're about the goodness and the power of God coming. But we need to give our stories of God's journey and working with us. So it isn't like, Roger, that's great for you. It's, no, it's great for God and he can use all of us. And so I thought I'd seen people pray for people, Don Double and others, over the years. And often, a guy called Ian Andrews would teach us quite a bit. And so often they would say, in the name of Jesus, I tell the darkness to go. And when it came to sight, what's the thing that sort of stops people seeing? Blindness. So I'm going to go for that blindness. So in the name of Jesus, blindness, go in Jesus' name. And Gerald said, thank you very much. And then went on his way with his white stick. So I thought, well, if I had a go, went home, slightly discouraged. I thought I was meant to do that. Results, zero. Maybe a little bit of Thanksgiving. Anyway, a couple of weeks later, I was due back there for another meeting, not the same group, a different group, much more lively group. And as they were saying, Gerald came up to me and said, hey, Roger. I said, is it Gerald? And I said, yeah, it's Gerald. I said, do you notice anything different? And I walked. He said, Gerald, you haven't got your white stick. Where's your white stick? Well, he says, by the time I got back from that meeting where you spoke and prayed for me, I started being able to see again. And I can, over the pulpit where we were, there was writing on the wall. And I can, so I'll read all that. And he read out, and he testified in the meeting, he was fine. And I was fine too. Because it's encouragement that when we pray, we may not see the results that we want to see, but God is at work. It's his power that does it. But we're involved in the process. We're co-workers with him. He wants to use you and me. So what we're saying in this Ebenezer thing is, Lord, you've led us this far, and I want to go on with you, being led by you and being used by you. So this is the passage. So 1 Samuel 7:1-12. So the men of Kiriath-Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord. They brought it to Abinadab's house on the hill and consecrated Eleazar his son to guard the ark of the Lord. And the ark remained at Kiriath-Jearim a long time, too long, 20 years in all. Then all the people of Israel turned back to God. There was like a turning back. They'd been backslid. They'd been worshipping idols. They'd gone their own way. But now, because the Philistines were invading them and coming, they came back to God and said, we want to go God's way. There was like a revival going on. So Samuel said to the Israelites, if you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of foreign gods and the Ashtaroths, and commit yourself to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the Israelites put away their Baals and Ashtaroths and served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you. When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. Now, it doesn't tell us what that means. Lots of people have had ideas, but it speaks of something that is very precious. Water out there was precious. And so they're pouring out something precious to the Lord, and they're humbling themselves and saying, you know, we've turned from these, you know, foreign worships, and we want to be pure. We want to be forgiven. We want to have fresh springs of water. And they poured it out before the Lord, and on that day they fasted and they confessed. We know this stuff, don't we? You know, just before I forget, you know, I find fasting quite difficult. You can see as I haven't got lots of extra weight, and I haven't got much muscle either. But so when I fast, I say, "Oh, I hope I'll survive," you know. And I, you know, one of the things we were meant to do as leaders was fast for 3 days. And my prayer was, "Please, Lord, don't let me die in those 3 days." Yeah. Anyway, but you know, so but I do. I try, and I think when I was reading this passage for the next stage of our journey, I felt the Lord say, "Roger, a bit more fasting, please." And so there's something there in it, and confessing sin and just being sensitive to the Lord. I don't want to get into rubbish. I don't want to scroll too much. Very interesting little bits on bike repairs, but Roger, a bit too long on the bike repairs. Time with the Lord is what he wants. And so, look, confession. We have sinned against the Lord. Now, Samuel was serving as leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. Why? Because last time they attacked them, Israel were destroyed. And so this is a very nervous time for Israel, because this is where they got slaughtered by the Philistines. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And they said to Samuel, "Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. What does that speak of? The lamb sacrificed. We were singing about it earlier. It's what it foretold of a one perfect Lamb of God that will come and sacrifice himself for us. He cried to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. There's other recorded stuff by Josephus, the Jewish historian. It said the Israelites didn't hear any thunder at all. It was only the Philistines that heard the thunder and sent them into panic. Amazing, isn't it? I just find little bits like that so fascinating. And the men of Israel rushed out. Oh, yeah. And they threw them in such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to the point of Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So there we get the story. Fascinating story. So I just want to say, see if I can get and do this as quickly as I can. This stone is a stone that remembers God's past help and says, "Thank you." And I want to encourage you. It was great that Martin got us praying out one after another. "Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in this place. Thank you for your continued love that's seen us through tricky times and good times." What one thing I do love here, presence of Jesus. The presence of the Lord. What a treasure to be in a place where the presence of the Lord is and to enjoy him together. It says, "Thank you." You know, in the past, Mizpah had been a place of defeat, and now it's a place of victory, of deliverance. And some of us have seen God set us free for things, pour us in to his family here in this place. We say thank you. And, you know, often people sort of come to the Lord and there's tremendous help. They get turned around. They're going one direction and God just turns them round. And this happened in this situation at Mizpah, a complete turning around. You know, if I hear the story right, when Martin and team were searching for a place, there wasn't much on the horizon, no school. And then a chance meeting with a head mistress or headmaster or headmistress, I think, a chance meeting, and they or somebody did some research, one of the vicars around here did some research, and a school was available. So you go from no place, you know, what do? To God's provision. And we need to say, Lord, thank you for your provision. It's wonderful. You provide it. I did use your lovely bathrooms, and I think, I don't think I've been in a church with such neat, nice bathrooms. You may, if you go to a school, not quite have it as neat, but never mind, folks. You know, there's some good air spray. Why are you talking about that? Well, that's what we've got to do at our school that we meet in. And, you know, there's some changes. So, that's part one. It's saying thank you, thanksgiving, gratitude, you know, and you know, even in difficult circumstances, we should be people of gratitude. I had a friend who broke his shoulder in a fall. This is a person who'd been a lovely Christian all his life, wonderful, wonderful man, support in the church where we were in Henley-on-Thames, and he breaks his shoulder. And he ends up in hospital, not local, a little distance. So I go and see him. And he doesn't want to talk to the Lord. He says, I thought the Lord was going to look after me during this winter. And here I am, broken shoulder, in the hospital, in real pain. And says, and it's just, nothing's working out for me. I don't want to talk to the Lord. So a bit tricky, isn't it? And you encourage him. He says, can I read to you a bit of scripture? He says, if you want to. That's really good. Could I pray for you? Okay, if you must. Anyway, and as I was praying for him, I said, could I ask you a question? In it all, has God spoken to you in the middle of all your situations? He said, yes, he has actually. From Thessalonians, it says, give thanks in the midst of all circumstances. Oh, yes. Oh, and so he said, should we have a go then? All right. And he began to give thanks in the midst of broken shoulder. He went from dark depression, I would say suicidal depression, to a place of joy. In the midst, the operation worked out. He got back on song again. He sees the turnaround as God speaking to him and a pastor's provocation to give thanks in all circumstances. So I want to encourage you. It's a stone to give thanks. Secondly, it's a stone. Is that two? Yes. It's a stone that says, thank you, Lord, for what you... thank you, Lord, for what you've done. It's a stone that remembers God's presence and power now and then acts on it. Because that's what had happened. You see, they got Samuel. Come on, Samuel, pray for us. We're in a desperate situation. Samuel prayed. He did that stuff with the sacrifice and everything. He went through what he needed to go through. And we need to go through some things. And then the thunder comes. God's power comes. And then they go and, you know, follow it through. They had to follow it. No, you're thinking, why are you reading us a gory story about listen, you just have to, you may not understand these bits of the Old Testament, but walk with it and just see it is, we don't do that now because the battle is internal. The battle is a spiritual battle, not a physical battle on the outside like it was for them there, but they had to follow it through. It means, I thought God say, Stroud Christian Fellowship. Is that what you're called? Stroud Christian Fellowship. Let's get it right. Stroud Christian Fellowship. Time to pray. You know, you've got the place and you think, well, that's great, we got it there. No. Time to pray. Time to intercede. I feel God saying, Stroud, intercede. Intercede. Pray. Fast, if you can. Bit of fasting, bit more fasting, because God has got some amazing things for you where he wants his presence. This morning for me was just lovely sense of his presence. And I have a house group meeting in our house during the week. And, you know, for us, where we are in Stride, numbers are like gold dust. You know, it's like if we get a few more people coming, we're all excited. We're just so excited. We're praying for them. We're praying, what can we do to help them come along and be part of us? Anyway, there's this lovely lady called Esther, and we do a little bit of Bible study on a Wednesday night. Pray, Bible study, bit of worship, and a little bit of food. And we were doing the story of Ruth. And in the middle, and we just got to that part where Ruth and Orpah say to their bit to Naomi. And Orpah, the daughter-in-law, just kisses her and goes back to her people. And Ruth says, no, where you go, I'm going to go. Your people are going to be my people. Your God, because she came from a... She wasn't a Jewish people. That wasn't her background. She didn't believe in the God that Naomi did. But she says, now your God is going to be my God. And where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. And one of the other girls had just come and be part of our meeting. She was there in the house group. She was just reading it out. And as she read it out, my son, who's part of the group, he was just wiping the tears. And I was wiping the tears. And it was like the presence of the Lord comes into the room. And we just stop a minute and we just say, yes, Lord, we're going to follow you. Whatever you're saying, presence of God, very, very precious. I took my older brother. He suffers from Huntington's disease. And they had a concert where his home was up near Ledbury, where they do some, they had a special concert where this group of musicians play familiar songs and things so that people with special needs can participate. They can sing a bit, they can get up and do a little dance. And there wasn't too much of that, but, you know, I got up and had a little dance with one of the guys. And we're doing it together. And then this lady, who's an oboe player, she says, one of the songs that's familiar in the oboe is Gabriel's Oboe. And Gabriel's Oboe, the song, this little bit of music, was composed for a film called The Mission, where this Franciscan priest goes out to the South America and a particular tribe. He goes up this waterfall to get to the tribe. And most of the people that had gone before had all been killed by the tribe. So he's got one chance. So he puts his little oboe pack and climbs the waterfall. And he goes up and he sits on a stone and he can see in the bushes and the hedges around the tribesmen with their spears. And he gets out his oboe and by the background of the sound of the water, he plays this particular melody. And then she played the melody to us. And there in this concert, tears start going down my face. Look around at my younger brother, and the tears are going down his face. Presence of God comes into the room. So that next day, I watched the film, The Mission. It's you have to be okay with violence if you like this, that sort of thing. You can cope with that, fine. But that little bit in the middle, presence of God came again. Do you know, folks, we need to be a people of the presence. And when the presence of God comes, we stop for a moment. You're here, Lord. You're doing things. What do you want us to do? How do you want us to respond? Okay, last little bit. It's a stone that looks at his faithfulness and the in the future and takes action to prepare for it. So it's a stone that goes, you've been with us all this way, and we are going to put our confidence of your faithfulness in our future. Your power and your authority is going to go with us in the future. When my wife and I got married, we didn't have a lot of money to go anywhere special. Noel Richards and Trish, some of you know his songs. Actually, we didn't know this, but he got married exactly the same day as my wife and I. And they didn't have much money. So we both went to the same place. We didn't meet up. We just found this afterwards. We both went to Wales. And we went up to North Wales, so a place called Cader Idris, in that area around there. And we decided, third or fourth day we were there, we were going to climb Cader Idris. We don't have the apps and everything with the weather forecast, and the day looked quite nice, so we set off with a little packed lunch to climb Cader Idris. We got up there, and as we got up there, the view sort of just went down a little bit because cloud was coming in, and then the cloud came over Cader Idris, and then after a little while, we could see just a few feet in front of us. And as we'd come up, and there were some very sort of difficult bits to negotiate, and we thought, what are we going to do coming down? And then I noticed something, that there were some piles of stones just piled up. And then you could see the path, and you would follow the path, and you would come to another pile of stones. And then you would go down a little bit more, and another pile of stones. And we didn't have mobiles in those days, and sort of, you know, can you pray for us? And it would have been a pity, wouldn't it, on your honeymoon to go and land up in hospital or not survive it. But it was fine because we followed the piles of stones. We followed what God had set in place beforehand. Stroud Christian Fellowship, God wants you to follow his steps for you. This is what I felt God to say. He says, prepare for the children. So it's interesting, you have a prayer meeting this week praying for the children. It's bigger than that. He's going to send you lots and lots of children. Pray for the children. Fast for the children. Do other things that you're doing well. But remember this. There's going to be a lot of children. There's going to be a lot of young mums. There's going to be a lot of people that need to encounter and know the presence of the risen Jesus. He wants to do supernatural things among you. He's going to turn something round. This is going to be a time of his power and presence. Lots of good organisation. But you need the power and the presence to do it. Amen? Okay. What I want to do, can we do this? I want to just try and do something. Sometimes, immediately, we just go into praying, etc. But I wondered if we could just, for a second, listen to something. That hymn I mentioned earlier, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. I think I've been able just to get the words of this. And I'm going to just try and play it to you right now. Could you, as you sit there, just be grateful to God and just say, Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for that. You don't need to say anything. Don't need to pray out. Just for a moment, like Martin said, just hear what God's saying to you and say, Lord, I'm willing for the next step. I want to be part of it.
Above all else, I adore.
Please, Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence. Thank you, you want to lead us on. Thank you for all that is past. Thank you for the now moments when you move. Amen. Amen. Well done. Thank you. Thank you for just staying with it. It's not right that I leave without bringing what God's given, just as a few words of knowledge. And I know this is a place unlike where I was in Amersham, where nobody responds. somebody has a rash on their leg, some sort of rash, that God wants to heal that and touch that this morning. Somebody has, you've strained your stomach, lifting something, you have pain that goes right here. And I believe he's here to heal that too. Somebody else, right at the back of your leg, it will be your left leg, you have cramps that come up at the back of your left leg, and you've been having these cramps recently, and there's some things just not quite balanced right, and God wants to bring healing for you. Somebody else, you the other day you said, I just exhausted. I just find life so difficult. I'm exhausted all the time. I felt God wanted to touch that person and say, I'm going to bring you some new strength, and you're going to be able to capture strength from me. And some of it is to do waiting with him. Somebody has twisted your back, and as you walked, and somebody's said to you, oh, look, you walk funny. If that's you, God wants to just straighten something in your back, I believe, so that you can walk well. Somebody else has come, and over this last, I think it's 2.5, sort of between 2 and 3 weeks, you've had something quite traumatic just happen to you. And this trauma, you think, oh, I'll just get over it, but you're not getting over it. And God wants to help you, and just if you can come and get some prayer with one of these team members and just help you. That trauma, he wants to go to the root of it and then help you to come through and be healed. Somebody else, you have some sort of curvature in your spine. Somebody said, oh, you've got curvature of the spine, and it's been like a sentence over you. That's the way I live. So you live with backache most of the time. And I felt God say, I'm the God who comes to set curves straight. And he wants to heal that. And the last thing says, if you've been struggling with backache, I felt there were 9 people in this room who were just struggling with backache that God wanted to touch this morning, by 1 minute, to heal. So if one of those was you, could you help us and encourage us? Put your hand up. Martin and the team will pray for people. Well, I've got 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 more over this side of the room than this side of the room. Oh, 12. Well done. 12, 13. Great. Okay. That's doable. We can pray together. Martin, over to you. And thank you for bearing with us. That's great.